Welcome back. We're visiting with Peter Svarsbein, City Representative for District 1, but for the purposes of our interview today, at this point in the interview, a student who has just moved to New York.
Yes, I came with an internship at YRB Magazine, and I had full of dreams, I guess.
Yeah.
I was fortunate to have interned at a magazine, which turned into an assistant position editor-in-chief, which turned into shooting for them. I probably worked almost every job you could think of in photography before sort of starting to get published. I worked at a camera store, K&M Camera, in Tribeca. I assisted numerous photographers. I was a digital assistant printer for Jay Mazel in the Bowery. And I had interned at World Picture News, which was a photo agency. And they had a high-end digital scanner. And so I worked with the photographers that were still doing print work as well as some archives to scan and retouch their film. And I guess one of the bigger breaks I had was being in the Eddie Adams workshop, mm-hmm. which was a photojournalism workshop. Eddie Adams had created, the great Vietnam War photographer, who basically combined 100 emerging photographers with 100 photo editors and 100 established photographers. And it was a weekend in a barn in the Catskills that he owned where established photographers and emerging photographers would share and help the next generation. And from that, I met a couple different editors from the New York Times and Fortune and started shooting and eventually was represented by a photo agency. And I just felt that in New York, I was getting by, I was working, but I was still struggling to understand what is it that my work was about and how can I talk about and really represent my work. And that brought me back to grad school. I was looking at Columbia, and then I settled at the School of Visual Arts in New York for their master's degree because they really had a very hybrid degree. It was a master's in photo, video, and related media, mm-hmm. and which could technically encompass almost anything. But it was really great because it was at the time where digital cameras were sort of segueing into video.
Oh, yes.
And really the question was not, what, well, are you a filmmaker? Are you a photographer? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, you're a visual artist. What medium makes sense for the story, for the concept, for the client that you're wanting to save? And that was incredibly liberating.
Mm-hmm.
It gave me the ability to really understand video production in addition to photography, but it also enabled me to sort of expand this sort of scope of visual creativity, and that kind of led to my thesis, the El Paso Transnational Trolley Project. And that project really encompassed documentary photography, video commercials, performance art, wheat paste posters, policy, advertising. So it really was this mix. I think without that background that the School of Visual Arts gave with that MFA mm-hmm. program, I don't know if I would have made that evolution, made that jump.
It sounds like for you to be satisfied, once you had identified what your work was about, it had to have that social, political aspect to it.
Well,
that's what you did.
Yeah. I mean, I think for those who don't know, the El Paso Transnational Trolley Project was an ad campaign for a fictional streetcar to run between El Paso and Juarez.
Mm-hmm.
And it started in 2010, 2011, when the violence was really at its worst. And that project had put up posters throughout downtown El Paso and Ciudad Juarez, and it eventually brought me back to El Paso, where the project evolved from a sort of conceptual art campaign into a grassroots campaign to help the city push an actual streetcar line
mm-hmm.
To go from UTEP and downtown. And what we did was not just to pursue that, but also to push that the very same streetcars that went 500 times a day between El Paso
yes.
and Juarez were actually refurbished. And to see that happen is amazing. In regards to what you were saying before, you were mentioning about the social political aspect. And for graduate school, what I noticed is that it seemed a lot of my peers were making work that they thought would be appropriate for Chelsea. They were making work that they thought would make sense to be in a gallery in New York or
mm-hmm.
to be in a collector's thing. And for me, I wanted work that could talk about where I'm from. I wanted to create a body of work that could represent where I'm from. And
mm-hmm.
really the two goals was, you know, with the project was to try to imagine a better future between the two cities. And if you can't imagine a better future, you can't have one. And the posters, the trolley posters, as positive they were meant to evoke that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second goal was also to challenge representation of what it meant to be from the border. And I think that we're even seeing it today. I mean, it's funny. 7 years after the project, it's just as relevant. But mm-hmm. we're seeing it today that we are constantly being defined by how other people outside of our region view us, whether it's talking about how a wall makes us safe, or we're talking about how being ground zero of a certain place, or the beachhead that mm-hmm. Attorney General had mentioned. How we represent ourselves and how we're seen is extremely important. And so to me, what was remarkable about the trolleys and the streetcars is that they define us. They're the perfect symbol of what it means to be from this region. It's not the walls that define us here or the ways that we're separated. What defines us as El Paso and defines us as Juarez, but really what defines us as a region, as a community, is the different ways that we cross.
But the bridges.
The bridges, the trolleys,
the bridges, the families, not the walls.
The families, the music, yes. the culture, sure. the economy.
Oh, sure.
You know, from the riches of the rich to the poorest of the poor, we all have different reasons
those,
for wanting to cross.
But those trolley cars, I rode those streetcars down in downtown El Paso and across the bridge and over in Juarez. I mean, it's an iconic symbol of mobility along the border. So I'm glad that at least as a child you were imprinted enough with that as an identifier for you that you didn't pick something out of New York that meant something. You picked something from home. So this is essentially what brought you back?
Yeah. I wish I could tell you that I had stories of, you know, riding the streetcar with my father. And
you're too young.
Way too young for
you're
that.
You're a kid.
But I can tell you that a project like this from a cultural space is extremely mm-hmm. profound. When we're being defined by the outside, for us to have these symbols, and they don't need to say Juarez on it. Everybody knows. And if not, gives opportunities for El Pasoans to talk about who we are. And yeah. that's what we need to do. History has to be alive. History mm-hmm. has to be relevant. Otherwise, we got to do it. And so this is a great opportunity for that. But I think, too, a streetcar line also gives an opportunity to reinvigorate areas and to offer something different. And in the case of our streetcar route, it has an opportunity to connect some really important neighborhoods.
Oh, yes.
Where it really creates a destination. And I mentioned in an op-ed, like San Antonio's Riverwalk, we're not creating the same thing because it's an opportunity where you can go and park your car or come into downtown and be able to enjoy a restaurant in Cincinnati Street, take the streetcar down to the Symphony, walk through the plaza,
yeah.
hop on, go.
The unique sensory connection is part of the process. I mean,
yeah.
a streetcar has its sounds and smells and everything about it is something quite different from just parking your car
yeah.
and doing your thing.
And it connects some of the great neighborhoods, Segundo Barrio, the opportunities with the trust buildings that are currently being
yes.
restored,
yes.
whether it's the Bassett Tower or mm-hmm. the Plaza Hotel or the Camino Real or the Banner Brothers building. From my time on council, to be able to be supportive and help those historic preservation projects along
yes.
that are really important and relevant.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking these significant trust treasures, and to be able to support that makes me extremely proud.
Well, preservation, restoration, imagination, they all are what preserve a city's texture. And without texture, you get through a place as fast as you can and go on to where you really want to be.
Yep.
So it's that texture and that sensory experience. It's going to slow people down and make them be where they are long
yep.
enough to really enjoy and engage. I'm going to drop back just a little bit to the fact that you have a brother who is, 4 years younger?
2 years younger.
2 years, pardon me.
And
2 years younger. And 1 day, not that anyone's counting. He's still living in L.A.? Is
yep.
that correct?
He's in Los Angeles.
And what does he do for a living?
So my brother, Johnny Schwartzbein, he is a improv comedian, teacher, and writer and actor.
Uh-huh.
And man, oh man, am I proud of him. He had a tremendous amount of exposure and a great break. He was featured on a skit on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Sweet. How long ago was that?
I would say by the time you're airing, about 2 weeks.
Wow.
It was last week. So,
wow.
Yeah. And so
how exciting.
He was featured there. It was just him as Murray from Murray's Furniture Emporium in Los Angeles.
I'm going to have to see if I can dig that one
up. You can totally Google it, Jimmy Kimmel Live IKEA ad. It was a spoof off an IKEA ad that wanted you to urinate on an ad for half off on a crib. And if you could prove that you were pregnant, you could get half off on a crib. And Jimmy Kimmel spoofed it. And my brother was on it. And he was just amazing. I mean, the way that he approaches comedy and improv, it's an art unto itself.
Absolutely.
And he has been so dogged and determined for so many years. And to see him absolutely just nail it made me so proud. And
was humor very much a part of your family growing up?
I think if anybody knew the Schwartzbeins, they knew that we were a pretty funny family.
Okay, which brings me back to the issue of politics. How has this helped you as a politician in El Paso?
Well, as an elected official, I don't like the term politician.
Do you have to suppress it, or can you use that sense of humor?
You know, we grew up, my dad was a very funny guy. He was serious at times, but he always had humor. And I think that when you're kind to people and you use humor, I think humor is a great way to break down some barriers and build some bridges, try to put people at ease. And I think that I sometimes when you do humor a little too much, it veers off into the class clown thing.
Yes, I can do that myself on occasion. But one final question. Since you have become a politician formally, has your opinion of politicians changed?
I guess one of the biggest challenges is understanding that people see you only as a politician. Mm-hmm. They don't see you as an artist anymore, as a photographer. I still work in that. I actually am going to be speaking at Towson University in an art class in the fall, which is just really fantastic, as an artist. And I guess for me, those principles of wanting to communicate this region's potential and wanting to facilitate change or facilitate solutions for constituents is something that still drives me. So whether or not that it makes me as an elected official or a public statesman, that's what I can continue to do and focus on.
Well, we appreciate, speaking at least for myself, I appreciate the fact that you dove into something that you put your hand in the machine and it has indeed drawn you in. And
I've been nicked a little bit.
You've been nicked a bit, I suspect, but that's the way it goes. We appreciate the sacrifice of being a public official. So thanks for doing that, and I'm glad to hear that you are continuing to do your work. My guest today has been Peter Svarsbein, city representative for District 1. You can contact him at the city at 212-1002 or email him at district1@elpaso.gov. Thanks so much for your time, and good luck in all your ventures.
No problem. And if anybody is around, we're having the Kern Place Art and Farmers Market on Cincinnati Street, Sunday, January 28th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And we're going to have vendors and live music from Coronado, El Paso High, and Franklin High School's bands.
Excellent. Thanks.
Thanks.